They defeated Friends 72-55 the first time around. That doubleheader will tip off at 5 o'clock. Radio coverage can be heard over on our sister station, 99.1 FM KPGM. And of course, the Bartlesville Bruins and Lady Bruins both put up valiant efforts last night, but both came up short in a home contest against the Muskogee Ruffers. The girls' game was a back-and-forth affair throughout, as Muskogee never held a lead bigger than 10 points, and Lady Bruins held a lead no more than three. Muskogee came out on top in the end, winning 52-51. The Lady Bruins led by two with 5 seconds remaining, when Muskogee made in a three-pointer to win that ball game. Of course, this hustle play kept Lady Bruins in the game late.
Rebound to Cone for Bartlesville. Her outlet pass is nearly stolen, but Rovenstein saves it to Martin down the lane. Runner got it off the glass. What a save by Elise Rovenstein. Then Chloe Martin scores her 16th and 17th points of the games, and Muskogee wants a timeout as Bartlesville has retaken a three-point lead.
Chloe Martin scored 19 of her 23 points in the second half. The Lady Bruins fall to 6-12 on the season. The Wars also fell in the contest last night, 46-37, and were outscored 8-0 in the final 90 seconds of the ballgame. Muskogee led that game wire to wire, but Bartlesville had the ball down by 1 point several times. They just could not take that lead. It was plays like this that prevented the Ruffers from pulling away.
Rebound tipped and controlled by Nero, lost the ball into the hands of Perry, shovels down under Keaton, layup good. A steal and a bucket off a nice pass from Caleb Perry. Gage Keaton, now 15 points in his last six, his best stretch of the season. Bartlesville back within seven.
LP Smith would go on to score in double figures once again. The Bruins are now 1-16 on the year. Up next for Bartlesville is a game against Jinx, that game at Jinx on Tuesday. Other scores from last night, we'll go with Girls Forest. Pawhuska over Dewey, 50-35. Of course, Oklahoma Union over Caney Valley, 47-41. And on the boys' side, Nowata over Chelsea, 66-51. And Barnstall over Willen, winning 62-59. In college action later today, Oklahoma State plays right here on K1. They're going on the road to Baylor. That game at 5 o'clock tip-off, 4 o'clock pregame. Of course, OU has a 1 o'clock tip-off against West Virginia. That game can be heard over on 100.1 KYFM. Of course, tomorrow, Tulsa will be taking on UCF. That game, 1 o'clock, against UCF on KRIG tomorrow. And of course, Big Game Bob, as we were mentioning earlier, he's back in action, better than ever. Dallas Renegades XFL team taking on St. Louis. That game going to be on ESPN tomorrow. Of course, Big Game Bob we're referring to, Bob Stoops. He used to be a coach of Oklahoma Sooners for about 15, 16 years or so. Also, defensive coordinator, I believe, back in the day at Florida University, right, Tom?
UF, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of fun to see if that XFL works out later on this year. AAF didn't work out too well, so hoping for better things with the XFL, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, the coach, the Steve, what's his name, used to do the Florida Gators.
Yeah, the old ball coach.
The old ball coach. He tried that in the XFL. He did the Generals, I think, there for a while. They had some success, and it was the USFL is what that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think he tried that little XFL before, a couple of games, and then they were up and pushing daisies and what have you. But anyway, it's going to be good to see, Game Day Bob show up and have some fun with the guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Once again, that's tomorrow ESPN if anyone wants to check out Big Game Bob, former OU coach. But time is 7:29, temperature 23 degrees. Right now, time for Tech Talk right here on K1.
Good morning. It's 7:30, and this is Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain or what most people think of as a phone. That is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and use as radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Your hosts for Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Moll from the IT Village One. If it's technology, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up the phone, whether it's rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for Tech Talk.
And we have both Charles Moll and And good old Charlie is back here with us today, too. How you doing there, young man, Mr. Miller?
I'm doing good. Ready to get the day going.
All righty. It's a brisk wind here today, but, you know, things are going to warm up, and that's always a good thing. Folks can get some things done today.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah, you need these cold snaps to appreciate the little warmer weather. So we'll appreciate them today.
Yeah, definitely going to appreciate a lot more, that's for sure. Had a good week this week, and, you know, lots of things come up during the week. You know, I've got a little box on my desk now that, or on my counter, that people put in questions and things they want to ask. And it's usually electronics related stuff, because most of the guys that come in and just kind of toil around want to come in and find a resistor, or they want to find some capacitor, some project that they're working on. And had a guy in this week that wrote a note on there, and he says, I'm going to ask you guys a tech talk question, maybe you can cover for me, and left it in there. And he said, Dear Charles and Charles, I understand that the cookies that are placed on my computer when visiting online websites, he knows what those are, cookies are. But he says, what the heck are tags, pixels, and SDKs?
Tags, pixels, and SDKs.
He said, can you elaborate and explain what those are? Nope. And I said, well, I'm going to get Charles on here to see if we can have him kind of explain it in the best way. What is a tag, and what's pixels, and what's SDKs?
Well, I may show my age as well, because tags is, you know, started off with like your pound sign, you know, the hashtags.
Right. Okay.
But almost need to know kind of in context what we're trying to reference here.
Yeah, he gets these, you know, on your browsers. A lot of times it comes up with there's a tag or a pixel, whatever pixels are, and SDKs. So I wrote some stuff down that I did a little research, but maybe you can help me, Charles. You can elaborate on a little bit more if I'm not correct. But I just had this typed up and everything so I can read it, because I can never read my own handwriting. But this is what I wrote up. It says, I'm going to explain first, the cookies are simple strings of text that are loaded on a user's browser.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it basically just leaves a trail. You know, it's like when you're using your browser, it's a trail that's used for tracking things. Like, for example, if you go to a specific website, it's nice for them to know where you've been so they can kind of try to guide you somewhat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can use cookies for saving things, like settings. So that's where they're kind of handy. But now they've changed that with that GDPR, you know, the privacy thing that started in Europe, so that they have to state the fact, yes, they're tracking, you know, you use our cookies. So, you know, you're giving us the rights to do this.
Well, I went online and I found out that cookies were actually invented back in 1994. And we're not talking about eating cookies, you know, things you eat. We're talking about cookies on computers. These cookies were invented in 1994 at Netscape. Mm-hmm. I guess they're the company that actually started the whole thing.
The browser thing, yeah.
And so what it does, what I was understanding is it just goes out and targets who you are. If you visited a certain site at one point, it would keep that information stored up in there so that if you're, like, purchasing, you didn't have to reload that information over and over again.
Right.
That's what the cookie was designed for. Now, tracking pixels or pixel tags, now this is where we're getting a little deeper, allow tracking without cookies. Mm-hmm. So this is what they're telling me. Tracking pixels, also called pixel tags, or 1x1 pixels, are transparent images consisting of a single pixel and are present, albeit invisible, on the website or in an email. When a user loads up his web page or opens an email, the tracking pixel is also loaded, and it's in enabling the sender to track to tracking pixel, whatever that means. Typically an ad server or to read and record what is in the website. So I guess it goes a little deeper than just a cookie.
Yes, sure enough.
And I hope I answered your question there, my friend that sent that letter. I think his name was Doug. Let me look here. Yeah, Doug. Doug, that was the best answer I could give you, because I really, to be honest with you, don't know the difference between what the pixels are and the cookies. So maybe somebody can elaborate on that, would know a little bit more. But I do know that both of them are certain ways of tracking information from you and being able to know who you are. I know this, the way that things are set up now in computing, because I think this user was wanting mainly to, or this person asking the question was wanting to shut off some of these things, because whenever you go to, like, let's say Amazon, and you're looking for a specific item that you may want, then everybody's dumping this information on you where you can find that particular thing you're looking for. You know, how do you shut that off so that you're not getting these tons of emails from everybody else wanting to sell you something? Or even when you go to Google or something, to Google something, it just pops up with whatever you were searching for. How does that get stopped? How do you stop that?
Yeah, you have to turn stuff off. That's why people use that duck, was it DuckGoGo? Or, you know, it's a browser that basically turns all those tracking mechanisms off.
And keeps it to where you can't.
Keeps it where there is no trail. They're not sending things. And because, you know, that's the thing that we're really kind of lacking in this environment is visibility.
Yeah.
What's coming in and going out of your computer? You know, it's right. Just like you're plugged in, and what are you plugged into?
Exactly.
You know, trying to answer that question is tricky.
And limiting the amount of addresses you leave, you know, when you go to a site, the information they ask you about your email address, what's your email address, and we can send you information to be able to get specs on a certain product you're looking at or whatever. When you leave that information, that's open to everybody at that point because they can share that data or, you know, it just gets shared. Because I did a donation to a campaign years ago, and man, the emails I get from that whole thing. I had thousands of different, you know, things from this tea party, this thing, and I mean just tons of emails. And I was deleting more emails a day than I was receiving. I mean, I'm talking about junk mail. I was deleting more junk mail than I was receiving, but it was coming in droves. Just because I left one person my email address to, you know, donate to a campaign. So how do you like that? That's what happens when you give up that email. So I was like, man, do I ever want to do that again? Do I ever want to donate again? You know, because that's crazy.
Yep. It is. It's kind of out of control. But then you go back and says, okay, what did I sign up for? You know, what did I click on? Where did I go that tagged me as a target?
Yeah,
because I'm getting hit with all kinds of stuff, and what made it even worse this last quarter, they, you know, Microsoft had their system hacked where they got into the Microsoft.com email, and also in their Office 365, because I've noticed I'm getting stuff that, like, starting in January, that there's nothing I did that I could think of that was any different, but now I'm getting blasted with spam that are kind of health related. So now I'm looking, okay, is there any health related things that I look for? Because, you know, even if you do the browsing and you start this interest, right?
Right.
So there's a topic that's tagged and now all of a sudden everything relating to, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got these health issues. And I said, wait a minute, you know, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah, yeah, you left an email somewhere.
I did.
Gentlemen, we have a call if you'd like to take one.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air with Tech Talk. How can we help you?
Oh, you're on exactly what I need to be dealing with. Because a couple of weeks ago, I did the same thing on my phone. And what happened to me was I was doing something like looking up something, the meaning of a word or something, and then something popped up and said, do you allow or disallow? I mean... And so I thought, well, if I could, in the past, if I say don't allow, then I don't get anything done.
Right, you don't get the answer.
Doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And so I did it. I clicked on allow, and then all of a sudden, I started getting, well, pornography, all kinds of stuff about gambling, all kinds of stuff on my phone. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out what in the world did I allow. So then I had to get somebody to clean my phone. They cleaned my phone and out. And then the same thing happened last night. I was looking up the meaning of all things, a word, the meaning of cinnamon of all things. And so how cinnamon is for your body.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it clicked into this thing saying, do you allow these cookies or you disallow? And I thought, well, I want to finish reading this, so I have to push allow. All of a sudden now I'm getting things back on my phone again saying, you know, gambling stuff. It hasn't done the pornography this time.
Yeah.
But so far, I don't know what in the world to do.
You know, and here's the sad thing about that. It's not something that we as users know on the other end what's happening. We don't know what who we're searching for that answer that you're trying to get. So there's other people that have stuff up inside there that are looking at whatever you're sending up there. And you may be on the right site, but there's other people tagged to that site. Is that correct, Charles?
Well, when you're connecting to any website, like say, for example, if you use Google, you know, do your search, for example, and it goes out there and searches for, you know, these sites, they go through some level of, you know, that these are legitimate sites, but not that much. So, you know, you can, because when the what really protects you is when you actually have an encrypted connection, which essentially says, okay, they can't tell which IP address, you know, that you're coming from and where you're going to, because most of that's open. So people have tools where they can monitor that. They say, okay, what are you connecting to? And they can watch where you go, and they can start injecting things right in that stream. Then all of a sudden it takes you, and then you get these pop-ups. And the first thing to do is just shut your browser down, restart your computer, because something's loaded and you don't know what it's going to do. Because exactly. I've seen some pretty malicious stuff come up that way. You know, and that's not uncommon. Yeah. Like, for example, if you misspell something, then all of a sudden it takes you off, and people take these misspelled words and they set up these redirects that takes you to these questionable sites. And if you have good virus protection, at least it gives you a heads up and says, this looks like a malicious site, you know, I'd be getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then at that point you want to back away from it. I suppose, user, you had to go in to have somebody come and clean that off again, or how did that happen? Yeah. What did you do with that?
Well, I went to NBR first and drove around the block two or three times, couldn't find a parking place, so I had to find another computer place. They helped me, and he said he didn't work on phones. And he heard my sad story to the point where he finally just gave in and helped me make some decisions of putting on an app on there to see if there was a
malicious virus or some kind of thing like that.
I'm so mad that this happened again. Now I got to go get it fixed again. But it's real hard to get to your business because there's the parking downtown, but.
And we are working on that parking situation. I've had two or three customers this last week that tried to come in and get work done on their systems, and they just got so frustrated they just turned around and went somewhere else. So I did have some meetings with the people downtown that are across the street and just let them know, hey, quit. Your employees got to quit parking here. They've got parking lots for them. Why are they parking in our customers' parking spots? So we've been dealing with this for a long time. And we haven't been able to get a handle on it. But, you know, my poor neighbor next door to me, she's got a hair salon. And she's got 90-year-old women, some of them coming up there that are in walkers. They're trying to get in between cars. And these rude people that have parked there to go to work are just coming down every hour or two and moving their cars. It's so disrespectful to those people because they're coming to do business there. So, you know, we're working on it. We're trying to get that taken care of, and hopefully they're listening on the other end that own these companies, and they can say, hey, we'll address this problem, because well, you can see it's a problem.
Right. Well, one thing I would recommend to you is getting something like, you know, some software like Malwarebytes is one I like on the PC.
That was it. Yep. You put a malware byte, and there was no malware. We checked it out. There was no malware. Mm-hmm. We couldn't figure out where it was coming from. So what I do now, is one popped up on my phone this morning, and I'm just leaving it alone and making sure I don't open it. As long as I don't open them, I think it's better, because apparently when I open it, it must give them more access.
Yes, you know? And that's true,
so
it will.
I try not to do anything to it or just slide it to the side, you know, and delete it sort of. I don't know if it deletes it or not, but...
Yeah, we'll have to take that on as more of a topic, because I think it's getting to be more of an issue on those mobile devices.
It is
getting to be an issue, and it never used to be. Mm-hmm. But it's at that point now where you're afraid to go look for just a simple thing because you're going to get blasted with some of this stuff like she's encountered. And it's kind of scary. But let me mention one thing. I know you got to go to break in a minute, but let me tell you this real fast since we're on that topic. A lot of the games that people download, like card games and so forth that you get on the app stores, those are owned by companies that were designed in China. And a lot of times, those Chinese companies have programs built into that same game that look at all your buying purchase things on Amazon and all that. So even if you shut that game off and clear it out of your memory, it's still running in the background. I've had to see where you almost have to force boot your phone, what we call a hard reset, not to erase everything, but to just hard reset the phone to shut those off because they will be running in the background. And I've seen them actually spiraling up at the top, and they're collecting data. So, you know, just be careful about the games you download, too. You might want to read a little bit of going on with them.
You need to be aware whenever it says free.
Yeah.
This is free.
Free.
There's nothing free.
Nothing free. That's right.
Well, I hope we helped you there, caller.
Thank you. I know you have to go to break, but thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too now. All righty. Boy, I tell you. Nothing worse than getting those bombs, as they say.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll have more tech talk coming up after this one-minute timeout.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around the world. Click on BartlesvilleRadio.com and check out local and national news, upcoming events, lost or found animals, listener birthdays, anniversaries, up to the second real-time reports, and of course the latest news, weather, market news, and local sports scores and schedules. If it's on the air locally, it's on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com.
What do you do when you want to listen to 1400 K1, but you can't because you're out of the area? Listen to our stream on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Just go to our homepage and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. The 1400 K1 stream is brought to you by Cliffs Flooring and Windows, Cherokee Casino Ramona. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, or other internet-connected device. Whether you're home or away, we're your constant companion. We're 1400 K1.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, and we've been talking about bugs and things and viruses, and it ain't me, you know what I'm saying? All right.
Yep. It's a challenge anymore. I mean, it's like you're going into the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're having to, you don't know what kind of creatures are lurking there.
Exactly. And it's scary creatures.
Well, you're on the internet, you know, so you're in the wild blue, and just getting around is one thing, but protecting yourself is another. It's a challenge, for sure.
Well, yeah. You know, and I experience sometimes, you know, people will come in and ask these questions to me, you know, how do I fix this? And it's not something that you can give them an exact answer because you don't know where all this stuff comes from, where all this maliciousness comes from on the internet. But there are sites that they attach themselves to the site you're looking for. For instance, if I'm going to go to, let's say, rvest.com, and I'm going to go look at my bank account, you have to be really careful about that when you Google Arvest, that you're hitting the right Arvest.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you'll come up on a fake website that has everything that looks exactly like Arvest, and you may log into their website and give them all your credentials. So you have to be very careful where you're going. So a lot of times I use their apps. Mm-hmm. If they send an app out, like Arvest sends an app out, I use the app because I know that that's not attached me through the internet.
You really, it's like you're having to get to know your neighborhood. Like, for example, you know, this lady that just called, you know, she was using Google just to look at certain words or spices or whatever it was. Instead of just doing it like that, what I would do, I would go to like a dictionary, go to Webster or you know, one of the well-known, because you know that's a legitimate site, and then actually look at, you know, look up the words that way because you know that site is safe. When you leave it open-ended, it's like asking a question. All of a sudden, you're asking it to the world as opposed to a specific individual. You know what I mean?
And then the world comes rushing in.
Well, you don't know who's going to answer and what they're going to answer with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and address these things on your computers as well as your phones. But phones now are becoming more. It used to be that that wasn't quite as a big an issue with phones. But
that's
now
right.
that the phones are so connected, so into the internet, exactly like your laptops or your computer desktop at home, you're in it. I mean, there's a lot that's gonna get you. So you got to just beware and keep your eyes open.
All right, I believe we have another call here, and let's go ahead and take this one. Hi, good morning. You're on Tech Talk.
Well, good morning, guys. I'm hoping you guys can give me some advice.
All right.
I've got a friend of mine that I told I would try and help out with her printer, and she has an HP 3830 printer, and it'll print just fine whenever she prints from her computer, but whenever she tries to use the copy feature, because it's an all-in-one, it won't print black. And I didn't know what in the world might cause it to not be able to print black from the copy button.
Well, that's where you get into the electronic side of the printer, you know, because you got all this this software in between, you know, that's the difference between printing, you know, using the printer driver to go to the printer, or you're using the internal function of like the little LED, you know, where you kind of hit the copy function and just hit that. And so a lot of times those devices have upgrades. Like, for example, if you go to their driver, it'll have firmware updates. And a lot of software that gets loaded on your machine, you know, when you install those, they give you an option. It says upgrade firmware because the software is missing some things.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets you up to par.
And which did you say it was an HP?
Yeah.
A lot of times HP has in their settings, if you go into the settings on the LCD screen, you can actually drop down and in the settings there's a tool that allows you to reset the device. Something got, either got taken off or misplaced in there as far as a driver is concerned. So you might want to go in there and just do what they call a reset. And it'll reset everything back to its factory settings, and that will fix that problem.
Okay.
And then, but she'll have to go back in and reconfigure the printer back in her computer again.
Okay.
But look for that in your settings. And if you have any questions, you know, you can go to that, find that printer online on the website, you know, on Google. Just make sure you Google. We're talking about that this morning. But go to Google and then find out where that printer driver or where that printer manual is, and they'll tell you how to do that reset.
Okay. Sounds good. And I'm sure it'll make her feel better that she doesn't have to just go right out and buy a new printer.
Oh, yeah. It's not that. It's just something in the settings has gotten messed up, but you can reset it back to factory just in the settings browser on there.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
You
I appreciate
bet.
Your
no
help
problem.
Today.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have another call, but we're going to have to take a quick break here first, and we'll be back with more Tech Talk after this one-minute timeout.
It's that time of year again when Old Man Winter is rearing his ugly head. Be sure your furnace is ready for winter. Carbon monoxide is odorless and deadly. Call Ernest Heat and Air at 918-335-3057. Be safe, not sorry. That's Ernest Heat and Air in Bartlesville, 918-335-3057. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. The Weatherline is brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Good morning and welcome back to Tech Talk. And our lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Our caller kind of dropped off there. That's okay. We've got some things to get through, don't we, guys?
Yeah, we're still talking about these issues that you have with your
That you kind of come up with your machine. Yeah. You're trying to get going, and all of a sudden, the bottom drops out.
Oh, well, no.
Here's what I ran into this week, not just for myself, but also for at least a half a dozen customers on, like, I've got an HP laptop, but I think yesterday I went to see one of my customers and friends who had a machine. All of a sudden, he said, well, is the internet down for Cable One or BTC? And so, you know, nobody else had any outage that we knew of. So when I went to look at the machine, it was like the network adapter had quit. It just quit working. All of a sudden, there was no activity at all. So what I had to do, I had to just go and look at the driver under, you know, when you do properties on the computer, you could go to devices, look at the network adapter, and I had to basically disable it and then re-enable it, and everything came back fine.
Huh.
And that was on the physical network adapter. Now, I've got a laptop, which is an HP, and it started doing the same thing just recently, just this last, within the last week. And it had to do with some kind of a Windows 10 update. You know, and that's what we're running into a lot of now is when these updates take place, you know, they have some issues.
Yeah.
They cause some problems, and they'll fix it later. But the fact that, like on the phones, you know, it's done pretty much automatic.
Right.
You know, so Now it's just like there's a behavioral change, and, you know, you're talking to your gadget, and it doesn't talk back.
Yeah, yours is doing that this morning right now.
Yep.
And it, sure it's having a problem with connecting to Wi-Fi.
Yep, and I'll just have to restart it, you know, which is kind of a rude way to have to recover. But I have no network connection until I do.
So that's unbelievable.
Yeah, like this HP laptop. It's this one is a Pavilion X360, and it had the same thing. It's just all of a sudden, it says that the network is working. Troubleshooting says no issues, but when you try to connect, says there's no network available.
Hmm. You know, in the words forced reset or forced boot, a lot of people don't know what that means, but if you have an iPhone, a forced boot is to allow you to be able to hard reset your phone. And you may have to Google, depending on what model phone you have, to see how to force boot your particular phone. So if you have like an iPhone 10, if you say, I have an iPhone 10, how do I force boot this phone? It'll tell you the steps that you need to take to do that. But the reason I'm bringing that up is that you need to force boot your phone every time after you do a major update. After I do an iOS software update, I wait about maybe 2 or 3 hours, and then I do that forced boot. And what that does is it reinitializes everything in there, all the drivers that are loading up to make your phone operate correctly. It reloads everything. So if there was an update to a particular device that's already open in the background, it'll shut it down and make it, force it to reopen. And that'll keep you from having a lot of bugs. I've noticed that my phone has a lot less problems since I've been doing that. But I always force boot it. But after some major updates, I used to have problems to where I couldn't use a certain app that I had in there. It would just crash my device. So this will help you, I think, a little bit. Just remember to always force boot if you can.
Well, this is where you have to get to know your own device. It's like, not only do you have to know yourself, you have to know your device.
You have to know your device to become intimate and friends, really close friends.
Yeah, you get to know this thing because, you know, they're behavioral things. Software are just behaviors. You know, they're patterns. They're algorithms that have some logic to them. But when you start combining them all, you know, it gets complex to the point where you can't trace it anymore. And that's why so often the first thing people ask you when you're troubleshooting, have you restarted?
Quickly, what's going on with IT Village?
Oh, it's blowing and going, and I'm working on my site. So itvillage.1 is where I'm at.
And NBR Electronics, 510 South Keeler, downtown, and hopefully you'll find a parking space.
All right. Guys, thank you very much. We'll check in with you next week on Tech Talk.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Bud Mishkin. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing is confirming what is believed to be the first American to die of coronavirus, a 60-year-old in the epicenter of Wuhan, China. Meanwhile, a plane from China landed in San Antonio yesterday. Passengers will be quarantined for 14 days and monitored for signs of infection. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus.
Coronavirus is not going to cause a major issue in the United States. If we have it here, we have healthcare institutions that can cordon people off. We can take care of them, give what we call supportive care. Remember, this happened in a part of China where there wasn't great medical systems, which is why they had to build these 1,000-bed hospitals in a matter of a week.
The death toll now stands at more than 720. Almost 35,000 have been infected, primarily in China. CBS News correspondent Michael George.
New research suggests the pangolin, an endangered mammal whose scales are highly valued in Chinese medicine, may have passed the virus to humans.
Democratic presidential hopefuls were back on the debate stage in Manchester, New Hampshire last night.
Democrats traded jabs over the Supreme Court, money in politics, race and health care. But there was some unity as Pete Buttigieg defended Biden from attacks by the president stemming from his impeachment.
This is not about Hunter Biden or Vice President Biden or any Biden. This is about an abuse of power by the president.
Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
2 days after President Trump's acquittal in his Senate impeachment trial, retribution against two who testified against the president in the House. The attorney for Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman says his client was escorted out of the White House. CBS's Paula Reed.
For months, sources have told me that it was likely that Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman would be ousted from the National Security Council. I've been told that the president told people around him that he wanted that, quote, spy gone.
And the ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, said in a statement that he'd been recalled by the president. Weather-wise, these have been dangerous and deadly days. Five people were killed across the South. Tornadoes were reported yesterday in Maryland and Virginia, and flooding is forcing evacuations in the Northwest. CBS News meteorologist Jeff Birardelli is also paying attention to potentially record winds.
We have a really extreme setup in the atmosphere, an atmospheric river coming from Hawaii, powering a storm along the eastern seaboard, which just left. That's going to merge with a polar vortex, and it's going to cause this really extreme pressure.